Speaking of food, you ever heard the phrase secret sauce? You know, that started back, I think, in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, at a hamburger joint that put a sauce on. They called it their secret sauce. And then McDonald's had their Big Mac. You all know Big Macs? Now, if you came hungry, I apologize. the Big Macs. Remember the little ditty that they had back, I think it was in the 70s? It was two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onions on a sesame seed bun. Now notice I didn't sing it to you. I can't remember the tune exactly, but you got the idea that Big Macs had this special sauce, this secret sauce. And if you go online and Google secret sauce McDonald's, you'll see these different people trying to emulate this secret sauce. It's just Thousand Island, right? No, it's got secrets. Okay, so, or you got Colonel Sanders, right? Herbs and how many are there? 11, is that right? 11 secret herbs and spices. And so you've got this secret sauce. And as it's developed over time, it has the idea of that special element that sets a product off from others. That special thing that they have that helps them have success. You know, Apple's special secret sauce is their simple design, their elegant design of their products, and their easy operating system. Now, for all of you Windows people who think it's complicated, all us Mac users, we say, no, it's very easy, right? But that was part of their secret sauce, if you will. Michelin tires, their secret sauce is safety. Remember in those commercials, they had the Michelin tires, and what was sitting inside one of those tires? A baby, right? And so here they have safety as kind of their secret. If you want to be safe on the road, you buy a Michelin tire. Whole Foods, grocers, right? Their secret sauce, their thing is having all natural organic food, specializing in that. And now you see a whole grouping of different stores that are doing such things. And so everyone has their little bit of a secret sauce. Now the question is, what is the secret sauce for being joyful? What's that secret sauce? Well, we've been talking a lot about that in the last 7 weeks as we've been studying the book of Philippians. And here's the main idea that we've had in this series as we've gone through this book of Philippians. And it's this: no matter what, you can have joy in Christ. Chapter 1, you can have joy in Christ, knowing that God is at work within you no matter what you face. Chapter 2, you can have joy in Christ through humble self-sacrifice, as Christ modeled that for us. Chapter 3, you can have joy in Christ through pursuing Him above all else. And now in chapter 4, you can have joy in Christ by experiencing His strength in your life. Now, obviously, the secret sauce of joy is Christ. Now, one of the things I do know about secret sauces or secret ingredient things or things we really like, we want to try to mimic that, right? I mean, just think of those warm, mouth-watering cheese biscuits at Red Lobster. Yeah, I heard that. Okay, so you go online and people have tried to replicate that recipe, right? We try to replicate these secret sauces, if you will. What are some of the secret sauces that we try as Christ followers to find joy, to find confidence in the challenges we face, but it isn't Christ that we go to? For some people, it's turning away from God completely. Some people get angry with God. They don't understand why He allowed to happen what happened in your life. And so they get upset and angry, and they just turn away from their faith. For others, we don't turn away, we just run away through different diversions to help numb the pain. For some of us, like myself, it's food, right? You get in a stressful, challenging time, and I just want to eat and eat and eat, and I can tell if I don't do this, but if I did, if I tracked my weight through the years, you could probably tell where I was in the most stressful moment, right? By having weighing more than other times. Or for some of us, it's entertainment of some sort that we just focus ourselves on that entertainment, whether it's TV, whether it's gaming, whatever it might be, we just pour ourselves into that. For others, it's alcohol. For others, it's prescription drugs or illegal drugs. For others, it's various ways that we run away from the challenge to find some sort of solace, some sort of comfort in the midst of those challenges. And then a third way that I thought of is that instead of going to Christ, who's the secret sauce, we try to imitate it. We try to do that through paralysis, or what I like to call procrastination, right? And it just makes us freeze up and do nothing. And that doesn't help any, does it? Because the challenge is still there. The running away doesn't help because the challenge is still there when you wake up the next morning. And turning your back on Christ isn't helpful at all because the problem's still there and worse. So now, the secret sauce is Christ. And Paul's going to show us this in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 10 through 23, if you want to turn there in your Bibles with me. Let me read through this passage for you. The idea here from this passage is that we can confidently face every challenge through Christ who strengthens me. Let me read the passage. Paul writes, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. Now give my greetings to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send their greetings, and all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Paul was in prison awaiting trial when he wrote this letter, when he wrote these words. And he starts his passage off saying, "How I praise the Lord." How I praise the Lord. The phrase there, praise, the word praise, it literally means great joy. He had great joy that they have been concerned for him again. He was in prison, and yet he had this joy, this deep sense of well-being that overflows with irrepressible delight. He had this great joy, even though he faced this tremendous challenge before him of possible execution. He faced it with confidence because he could face it with the strength of Jesus Christ, who is the secret sauce, if you will. How are we, as Christ followers, supposed to face these challenges? Well, let's look at it. Confidently face every challenge through Christ who strengthens me. Two things I want you to note about this passage. The first one is this. You can confidently face every challenge through Christ. Not just Paul, not just some super Christians, but you can. Paul was an ordinary guy who faced tremendous difficulties at times. But you're an ordinary person, and you face tremendous difficulties at times, and you can face them with confidence. Again, Paul writes, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me. Again, I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." Now, the Philippians had been supporting Paul for almost 10 years. It had been 10 years ago that he started that church. And they wanted to help him, and they did many times. And then he says, "I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." Well, he was shipwrecked for several months on an island. There was times where he was unavailable to get help. And also, they wouldn't know where he was. But as soon as they found out where he was and what was going on and the needs that he had, they sent help immediately. But then he wants them to know that even though he had little at times, then he never worried about it. Notice what he said, verse 11. "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ." Paul says, "I have learned the secret of being content." First notice learned. The word learned there means learn through experience. Paul didn't start off his Christian life being content. It was something that he had to learn through experience. Learn that even at the worst times when he had an empty stomach and had no clue where his meal may come from next, he learned that Christ was faithful and that he could trust him and that God would provide, and therefore he could be content with where he was. Content, that what does contentment mean? Well, our FX for our children, our children's ministry, the character quality this month is contentment. I think the way Pastor Mick and his team puts together the character qualities to choose contentment on this month of December is ingenious, isn't it? What does contentment mean? Well, they define contentment this way: choosing to be happy with whatever you have. Choosing to be happy with what you've got. Contentment is a choice. It's a choice that we make in the midst of a situation where we desire something else, to choose to be happy with what we have instead of desiring something more. Contentment is not dependent upon what you want or having all you want, but being satisfied with what you got, with what you have. We learn contentment by choosing to be happy with what we have. One of the ways that we can express that contentment is by giving something of valuable to someone else. We talk a lot about our fist around here, finances, influence, skills, and time. And one of the ways that we can express our contentment and learn to be content is to give something valuable to someone else. And this time of year, we're very much aware of that, where we want to be generous with our resources, either our finances or our time, our skills, just giving to be content. Lisa and I have done this for a number of years. On Thanksgiving, we help deliver meals through the aging services at Horizons. And we did that again this Thursday. Giving of ourselves, it's not that big of a deal. It isn't that hard to do. But to walk into these situations and to bring a little bit of joy to that person and see their situation helps you become more content as you give something of yourself to others. So that's one application here. If you would say, how do I learn to be content? Well, give something of value to you, to someone else who's in need, and you'll help you to become more and more content with what you have. This season of the year, as we get bombarded with ads and trying to get us to be discontented with what we have. Nothing wrong with buying things, but if they come out of a place of discontentment or contentment. And a Thursday's paper was about, what, 4 inches thick because of all the ads? And I purposely try not to look through too many. I look through too many Thursday. I got too much discontentment going on. So we really have to watch ourselves and choose to be happy with what we've got. Paul goes on then to say this. I can learn the secret of being content. He says, I can do everything through Christ. The secret sauce is having a personal relationship with Christ. The preposition here, well, let me start with this. I can do everything, or I can do all things, as some translation has. This does not mean that I can play the piano without lessons and a lot of practice. All right? It doesn't mean that I can run the turkey trot race if I haven't trained my body physically to do it. You with me? It doesn't mean that I can ace a physics exam if I didn't study it for it. So students, don't think this verse, I mean, how many students pray this verse right before a test? You know, they didn't study, they didn't prepare, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. That's not what this means. And in fact, the phrase all things or everything is a figure of speech, meaning everything that comes into my life, I can do. I can handle anything and everything that comes in my life. So whether that's a challenge at work or at school, at home, in the community, whatever comes into your life, you can do it. You can have the strength. And I can do, that phrase literally is strong. I am strong for everything that comes in my life through Christ. That's the idea of this verse here. I am strong with everything that comes in my life through Christ. Therefore, I can confidently face every challenge through Him. The word through there is a preposition that literally means in, and here indicates the cause, especially the means of this. So catch this, the means of getting Christ's power is Christ Himself. I can do all things or everything through Christ. The means of Christ strengthening me, the means of this strength is through Christ Himself. It isn't a formula. It isn't some special thing that we have to do. It's in this relationship with Jesus Christ. It's knowing Him, and that's what Paul's been emphasizing in this letter. He would say things like this, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain, it's all about this relationship with Jesus Christ. And once we enter into that relationship through faith in Him, a turning away from our sin and escaping the judgment of our sin through faith in Christ, we are now in this realm, this sphere of Christ in which He can give us strength. He can strengthen us. And Paul is saying, listen, you and I, we have the means to that power through Christ and our relationship with Christ as Christ followers. Now, what he's going to do, and what I want to point out in this passage, is that he is going to give us two key components of this strengthening, this strength that I am strong for everything that comes in my life through Christ. Two things for that. The first one is Christ infuses us with his power in our inner worlds. And the second one is through the caring and love of other Christ followers. So let's look at it. You can confidently face every challenge through Christ who strengthens you. Paul says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. The first ingredient to the secret sauce of joy is Christ strengthening us in our inner worlds, continually infusing us with his power. Gives me strength here is a present participle stressing the continual infusion of Christ's power in our lives. As we trust Him and depend upon Him, read His Word, pray, live in what I call desperate dependence upon Christ, His power is at work in our lives. There's times where I get agitated and just want to lash out at somebody, and it has nothing to do with that person. It has everything to do with what I'm struggling with. And as I pause and pray and just take a moment to connect with Christ, His power helps me to dial that back and be patient and kind in that situation. That is the supernatural power of Christ at work within us. When everything within us wants to go in a direction we know is wrong, and as we pause and ask the Lord to help us and surrender that situation to Him and depend on Him, He gives us the power to be able to say no to that, to say yes to what is right and true and pure and righteous. That's the power of Christ within us. Now, does that mean that when we come to a certain situation in our life, that the outcome will always be what we want? Absolutely not. Think of the Apostle Paul for a moment. Paul was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison multiple times. He was beaten multiple times, one time until he almost died. And yet in the midst of all of that, he was infused with the power of Christ. He wrote this book of joy as he was in jail. He wrote most of the New Testament. He sang praises in the jail at Philippi. He took the gospel to almost the whole known world. Even though he went through such terrible situations, he was infused with the power of Christ. Ray Stedman put it this way, and I quote, "The reason he can rejoice in such distressing circumstances is that he has discovered the secret of rejoicing in all circumstances. That is, the discovery of a holy, adequate God. This is the secret of the Apostle Paul and is the secret of every victorious Christian. Everyone who has learned to live above his circumstances has learned to reckon upon the fact that scriptures state from cover to cover that the Lord Jesus Christ is the indwelling life within us, who is wholly adequate and competent to meet every possibility that can come our way. When we start believing that, we will find life begins to change, and the whole of our attitude and expression begins to alter," unquote. Let me just encourage you to do this, and this is something that I'm learning more and more to practice, and it's this. When we get into that stress moment, that critical juncture in which we have a choice at that moment to either go the wrong way and get angry or succumb to that temptation or whatever it might be, or rely on Christ, here's what I want to challenge you to do. And it's something that I've just been more aware of and doing more of, is that in that moment in time, go to Jesus. I call it the go-to moments. At that moment, in that juncture, go to Jesus. Take a minute, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, however long, and just tell Him about it. Remember when we learned about anxiety last week? We said, turn your worry list into your prayer list. When you have that worry or that stress or that challenge at that moment, turn that into a prayer. At that moment in time, just stop and pray about it. Go to Jesus with it. And allow Him to give you the power inside to handle that challenge with confidence, to handle that challenge. I think Lisa, my wife, there's just this, I think it was this week, I was irritated at a situation that had nothing to do with her, but I was showing irritation to her. Has any husband ever done this besides me? And what I'm learning in this is that I stopped at that moment and whispered a prayer to the Lord, and then I told her. This had nothing to do with her. It had something to do. And I told her the situation. And that whole irritation resolved at that moment. It was amazing. What if we started doing that as Christ followers? It's just when we come into that moment where we realize we're not going the right direction here in our feelings or our thinking. And at that moment, we pause, hit the pause button, and go to Jesus. And then if someone else is involved, you can share that with them, what's going on. What if we did that? It'd make a huge difference. Hit the pause button and turn that stress into a prayer and allow Jesus to infuse you with his strength. The second ingredient in the sauce of joy, is other believers. Christ strengthens you through your partnership with other believers. Again, verse 14, Paul says, "Even so, you've done well to share with me." The word share here literally means to participate together. This is how Paul referred to the Philippian Christ followers at the very beginning of the letter, in chapter 1, verse 5, "For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now." So he says, even so, you have done well to share with me, be my partners with me in the mission of making disciples, he says. "And you have done so in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this." The Philippian believers partnered with Paul. They saw them as part of his prayer team and support team, and they went on to help him in any way that he could. And that's the way a local church should be. We should partner with one another. We're part of this family of God here at New Covenant Bible Church. We're part of the greater church of this region, and we ought to be partnering with one another for the mission of making disciples who make disciples. Our mission here in New Covenant is to honor God as a family of growing disciples, and we're partnering around that. And the point here is, one, our partnership has a goal in mind. Its goal is to glorify God by making disciples, but also our partnership then becomes a source of strength for us as we face the challenges in life. And that's what was happening to the Apostle Paul. That's what he's referring here to when he says, "Even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty." Paul was cared for by the believers in Philippi through their financial support and through the sending of Epaphroditus to care for his needs while he was in jail. Now, in order for others to help us in our time of need, granted, there are times when God tells another believer through the Holy Spirit, they're praying for you and helping you even though you didn't ask. There are times where that happens. In fact, I prayed with a gal after the first service, and she had mentioned how when she got her diagnosis of cancer, that a friend of hers that she hasn't talked to for a while called her and said, "The Lord just put you on my heart to pray for you." That happens. But usually what needs to happen for others to be able to pray for us and help us and strengthen us during our times of difficulty and the challenges in life is that we need to communicate that with them. That means we need to take the mask off and be transparent with some folks. And I know I wrestle with that big time. And many of you do too. That people need to know when we're needy, when we're hurt, when we're broken, so they can come around and pray for us and help us, and in that, strengthen us. That's how Christ does it. He does it through his infusion of his power within and through the strengthening of Christ's people around us. And that means we need to share our needs. I remember the time, and of course, us guys, I think guys have more trouble with this than gals. I'm not sure. I haven't done any scientific study on this. But us guys, you know, we're the warrior. We're the protector of our spouses, right? And we got to be strong and never show any weakness for them. And then we do that at work, and we do that at church, and we do it in the community. We've got to be the strong one, and any sign of weakness is wrong. I remember when Lisa was in the hospital down in Cincinnati years ago, she had a major rejection episode of her kidney transplant, and it was only once of two times in our years together where she was very, very ill and could have died. And I remember every time I came to see her, even though I was too concerned and worried and praying, but I would go into her room full of this, okay, everything's all fine and great and all this stuff, you know, and being putting on this mask of strength for her. On our drive home from Cincinnati, which is about a two-hour drive, we had a conversation, and I don't know if the right word is that you were upset with me. Would that be the right word? Kind of. But Lisa's, what I communicated to her through that is that I didn't care. I wasn't worried about her. I thought I was being strength, and really what she needed was me to be real. And in my realness, pray together. And that's where strength comes from. So don't be afraid to let others know of your weaknesses, and of your hurting, and of your brokenness. And allow them inside to help you and to pray for you and to strengthen you. I don't know where I'd be at this time of the year after what I've been through this since January and my whole thing of being dry inside that I've talked about with you, if it wasn't for being able to open my life up to my spouse and to three guys in particular to share my need. Paul says, listen, he was strengthened by their gift, by their caring. But the only way they knew to care was that somehow they got word from Rome that that's where Paul was and that he needed help. And in response to that, they sent an offering, and they sent Epaphroditus with that offering to stay with Paul during his time of need. The secret sauce of joy is Jesus Christ in relationship with him. Two things come out of that relationship. One, his continual infusion of his power in us, and the caring love of other Christ followers around us. We can have confidence, confidently face every challenge through Christ who strengthens you. Now, I'm going to show a picture of the Milky Way galaxy and see the arrow which indicates planet Earth. A little speck in the mix of the Milky Way galaxy. Our problems, our challenges, think of them the size of the planet Earth, and God's power the size of the Milky Way galaxy. And he says, I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. I want to give you the confidence and the joy as you face difficulties and challenges and rough times in your life. And he has this power for us. Paul says, I am strong for everything that comes into my life through Christ who strengthens me. He strengthens me in my inner world, and he strengthens me in my outer world through other believers. And he says, will you trust me? Will you pause in that moment of decision and turn that stress or worry to me, to pray at all times with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will enter your heart and your life and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Will you do that? Will you take the stresses and anxieties and not only take them to Christ, but take them to a dear brother or sister in Christ and allow them to lift you up in prayer and to help you in any way they can? Because you and I can face with confidence the challenges of life if we simply allow Christ to strengthen us in our inner world and through other Christ followers. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for your offer to us of your power and strength. Thank you for the Apostle Paul modeling that for us. He learned the secret. Help us to learn from experience, to be content. Help us to choose to be happy with what we have. And then, Father, in the midst of that junction of stress where we can either go the wrong way or go the right way, Lord, help us to pause and turn our worry list, our stress, over to you and to share that with others, where we'll find strength through your power within us and from others around us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the secret sauce of joy. We thank you for our relationship with you. And Father, I lift up those in this room who have never trusted Christ as their personal Savior. May this service draw them to yourself. May they continue their journey of seeking you. For those who seek will find. Draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.